You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. If you haven't done so yet, we want to encourage you to check out Plus membership on NewChurches.com for office hours, ready-to-use resources, and behind-the-scenes content. Well, today's question is about the importance of formal ministry in church planting. So let's listen in.
My name is Daniel Rodriguez, and I live in Houston, Texas. I've been in nonprofit services for the past 13 years and recently started to discern a call into church planting, and I've met with local church planting networks like Acts 29. And in my research, most of the church planters I've met have had formal ministry experience. My question is, how much value does formal ministry experience play into the success of planting a church? I hold a degree in theology. I've been in executive leadership for the majority of my nonprofit career, and I do as much lay ministry as I can in my local church. I appreciate you guys. Love the podcast.
Well, thanks, Daniel, for sending that question in. Now, how much value does formal ministry experience play into the success of planting a church? It's interesting he doesn't talk about seminary or theology, because he does have a degree in theology, has quite a bit of executive leadership experience, you know, been in lay leadership, volunteers as much as he can. But he's talking specifically for formal, how much value does formal ministry experience play into the success of planting a church?
I'm trying to decide if that's what he was really asking, or if he was really asking formal education.
Yeah.
I keep going back and forth.
Yeah.
So,
well, you're a journalist.
I can answer both.
Right,
so I guess we'll answer both. Okay, so if you really want to have transformational leadership in yourself or in others, it's really an overlap of knowledge, experience, and coaching. So it's important to get the knowledge piece. It's important to get the information, but we have to remember that a transfer of information is not transformation. That happens when we take whatever that information is and do something with it. So that experience piece, whether that is formal experience with an internship or some type of program, I think there's some incredible programs right now out there that some churches are doing. You have Summit Church, for instance. They have a year-long program for church planting. I'm on the board of a church, Restoration City. Woo!
Second shout out.
Have I shouted them out before?
Yeah. Oh, it's good. I'm not counting.
No. Okay. If you're looking for something like that, I think that's amazing. Because what you have is you have to be able to submit yourself to something like that.
Yeah.
So it's great that he's asking this question, if he's asking it the way we think he's asking it. If not, maybe this will be convicting. But formal education, and now having formal ministry experience. So the education piece, a lot of times we come out of seminary, myself included. I wanted to write The Process-Driven Church with Eric Geiger. He wrote it with Tom Rainer instead, and it's called Simple Church. But, you know, we think we know a lot, and we may or may not. And a lot of our ideas may or may not pan out, or we might not be patient enough to see them through. But the point there being, a lot of us graduate and we just go out and start doing rather than submit ourselves to doing something, but in a more orderly fashion by submitting ourselves to one of these programs. You're like, why would I? Man, I just invested 3 or 4 years in a master's. Am I really going to now come in and submit myself to a church? That's probably what you should do rather than lead a church. Just go out and lead a church. I mean, there's no one right thing for everybody, but I would say that's a good next step, because then you're moving that knowledge into experience. And if you do that in a program, you're going to get the last element, which is coaching.
Yeah. And ongoing coaching.
And that's what is going to really, I think, transform you as a leader.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I mean, church planting is going to be one of the hardest things that you have ever done, not only for yourself, but on your family, for those around you as well. So why not get as much experience as you can before jumping in? Now, I'm not saying, hey, you know, go write a PhD on church planting or go doing this and that. But I mean, if you say you have a lot of lay leadership experience in a local church, if God is calling you maybe to plant a church in a couple of years, then join a brand new church plant. Right? Join a brand new church plant right from the beginning. If you want to continue working, you know, where you're working. If not, once again, residency programs, checking one out, being a part of it for a year is going to derive so many benefits because not only will you be able to come in and be formed as a follower of Christ even deeper, but you'll be able to create a network, create community, and be able to plant for the long haul in a good way. The interesting thing about church planting, especially when it comes to competencies, there are some organizations, some denominations, some networks, some churches that say, hey, you know, to be a successful church planter, you need the specific church planting competencies. But even broader than that, there's a study that was done. Covenant Seminary did it with Reformed Theological on Westminster, and it was a 7-year study on resilient pastoral ministry. So one of my friends, Elliot Grudem, he's at Vintage Church. He's leading this thing called the Leaders Collective. It's a residency program. But the unique thing about what they're doing is they're actually building it not on church planting competencies, but actually on the competencies of a successful pastor, of a pastor that has that is able to lead a long and healthy and sustainable ministry. And the 5 characteristics that he builds it on is, number 1, spiritual formation. This is about deepening your relationship with Jesus, continuing to become more and more like him. The 2nd thing is self-care, which means attending to your social, emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual life, setting up patterns and habits that'll promote health in all those areas. The 3rd one is emotional and cultural intelligence. This involves self-awareness and awareness of your context, you know, contextualization as to where you're planting and ministering, and so you can navigate well those challenges. The 4th one is marriage and family. So being able to create and maintain healthy and happy relationships with your spouse and children. And the last one is on leadership and management. You know, those, you know, do you have the skills necessary to be able to lead and manage a growing and ever-growing church, ever-changing church? Now, some of those competencies, Daniel, you may have from your executive leadership, from your nonprofit experience, from being a lay leader, even from doing your degree in theology. But you'll want to do a self-analysis to even see, okay, what is my growth plan? What are the areas that I need to focus on before I go out and do this thing that's going to be that's going to be difficult? And being a part of a residency program, they're just going to help you grow in those areas. But I mean, if God is calling you to plant in your neighborhood in this next year, then there are a lot of denominations and networks that'll help you even where you're at.
Yes. I have very little to add to that. I mean, you know, the reality is there is no cookie cutter approach to church planting because there's so many different contexts, there's so many different environments and so many different people. What works in one place may not work in another. I know Malfers has recently, Aubrey Malfers has done some work in church planting. And I'm having trouble pulling it up. I've been looking while Daniel's talking, so I'm sorry, Daniel.
No worries.
But I know if he doesn't have the book, it's going to come out before long. And it's all about, you know, taking a look at the profiles and Myers-Briggs and all the stuff of, hey, what are some of the typical profiles of some of the most successful church planters? Mm-hmm. And I do think that there was a little bit of a pattern that developed, but he did, you know, he's very quick to say, anybody can be a church planter.
Yeah.
They just need to know themselves really well and know what they're doing and set themselves up for success. So a lot of times that means developing the people around them or recruiting the right team based on their self-awareness and self-assessment.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, and that's the thing, right? I mean, you don't need to have experience as a church planter before you plant a successful church, right? You do need experience in a lot of these competencies, and we're doing a lot of work at Lifeway Leadership on developing a set of competencies and even developing training around that to be able to help you where you are. That is coming out. We're in the middle of filming that, actually. Maybe, Todd, you can tell our audience a little bit about what we're doing there.
Well, what that is again, specific scope and sequence, because we want to give church leaders really a strong foundation. So the idea behind it is there was, I think, 18 of us that weighed in and got together. It's everybody from, you know, the guy who used to be the HR director for Walmart, who, by the way, was a executive pastor, to, you know, myself and people like Mac Lake and Brad Lominick and Jenny Catron, and, you know, many executive pastors and people that are just concerned about leadership in the church. What we did was we set out four levels within churches and tried to develop universal core competencies at each level.
So we had hundreds, like we had
286. Started,
yeah.
We started out with 286 competencies that were submitted from all these different people. And we ended up with six categories and then developing out what the learning objectives were, what the core competencies and what the learning objective of each, you know, session in each course was for each one of those levels. So as an example, discipleship is a competency and stewardship is a competency and strategy is a competency. People mm-hmm. development is a competency. So if you look at people development competency, Mac Lake is doing that tip to tail. Yeah. So there's 20 some sessions there, and that is, you know, three or four for the volunteer level. So what does people development look like at the volunteer level? What does it look like at the leader level? What does it look like at the director level or ministry director level? And then finally, what's that look like in senior leadership in the church? So your executive team, whatever you want to call that. You know, the reality is in most churches, they're an executive team of one.
Yeah.
Or it's a pastor and his elders or something like that. But what is required of them that they need to be developed in or have a core competency of, a displayed proficiency or skill in those different levels. So it has been a year and a half in process. Mm-hmm. So it is a great deal of work has gone into that, the development of that coursework.
Yeah. And I mean, that those videos are all going to be available on ministrygrid.com in the coming yep. months. But what that's actually allowed us to do is we've thought through you know, these concepts, and, you know, Todd, with your experience, being executive pastor, leading Lifeway Leadership, you know, and your education and my master's in global leadership and doing what we're doing here with new churches, you know, that actually has allowed us to, help churches, you know, consult with churches and help them develop their own leadership pipeline. So we've been able to do that as well. And if you're, you know, if your church wants to focus in on that, you can just contact us, daniel@newchurches.com, and we'll be able to talk through what that would look like for us to help your church.
And what that's basically doing is establishing a baseline for leadership at your church. So, for instance, we would say every church needs a pipeline and every person needs a pathway. And what we mean by that is, if someone is a leader at your church, if they're leading 8 to 10 people, whether it's, you know, ushers or they're a small group leader, then what are the core competencies that you want them to have?
Yeah.
So what we did was we set out to figure out what that was for the megachurch as well as the church of 100 or less.
Yeah.
So if a person is a leader in that church, what do we expect of them? What core competencies do we want them to have? What level of the ability to handle conflict, yeah. for instance? Things like that, so that when a person moves from one leadership position to another in the church, and we all know we have those people, they're double or triple dipping in the way that they serve, and that's great. But we want to have core competencies there so that they can learn the basics and we can be confident that they've learned the basics. And then the pathways are specifically more for that individual role. So you have universal competencies, and then you have more role-based competencies or role-based skills.
Yeah, right on. Well, I hope that was beneficial for you in understanding the importance of ministry experience, leadership development. And if there's any way we can help you, please go to newchurches.com, you know, look through the site, join us in Plus Membership, shoot me an email. And yeah, if you have any other questions that you would want to submit to us for the podcast, please do so at newchurches.com. Click send a voicemail, just send your question in, you know, about 30 seconds, ask your question, 15 seconds, introduce yourself, and we would love, absolutely love, to address your questions. Thanks again. Check you out next time.